and welcome. It's hour number one of our program. The lead from the NFL, the Green Bay Packers. A dramatic, nail-biting, game-winning field goal at the buzzer to take down San Francisco. Did Aaron Rodgers win it, or did the 49ers' incompetence on defense lose it? We'll get into that right now in hour number one. The cheese tastes so good. Welcome in the beginning of a new week of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we splash around coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long, the Fox Sports Radio studios in the North Woods. And so our lead this hour coming from Sunday Night Football in Northern California, a game that ended not that long ago. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, trying to get above 500. They had lost the opener in a blowout, came back, beat the Lions in the Monday night game. So the Packers taking their traveling circus to Santa Clara to take on the Niners, a date with Jimmy Garoppolo and the team that claims to be in San Francisco but plays in Santa Clara. Anyway, if you didn't watch the game, maybe you had some other engagement you could not watch. But Aaron Rodgers getting his tookus kissed from sea to shining sea. He had a couple of deep passes to Davante Adams on a last-second drive. Got the ball back with a little over half a minute to go, and that set up a Mason Crosby 51-yard field goal on the final play of regulation, and the Green Bay Packers get the win over the Niners 30-28. Rodgers coming through after Jimmy Garoppolo had led the Niners down, and Garoppolo thought he was the hero. He had a 12-yard play, a touchdown pass with 37 seconds left, and was like, hey, there we go. And no, that's not how it works. So let us discuss, and there is a lot to dissect. The question, when you have a game that comes down to this, the back and forth at the very end, did Aaron Rodgers win it, or did the 49ers' incompetence lose it? And my finger is pointed at the Niners. I'm pointing it at the Niners, and we'll walk you through this. So I've got mathematics, tunnel, and whistling Dixie. And we will tie all of these things together, and we're going to make banana cream pie, which is the greatest pie of them all, in a monologue. Now, most games, this is a philosophy we have on this show if you're new to the show, most games are lost, not won. More times than not, it's because of incompetence, not because of greatness. I believe this is no exception to the rule. Now, I realize that most people will have the opinion that, no, it's all Aaron Rodgers. But I look at the Niners side of things, and I say that phrase that the fish rots from the head down, that applies to the Niners. It starts, if you're going to point fingers, the guy wearing the headset, Kyle Shanahan, needs to be called out. That's on his shoulders. What a big dummy Kyle Shanahan was in clock management at the end of the game. Aaron Rodgers made a couple of clutch throws. Fine. Hall of Fame quarterback. Regardless of that, if Shanahan does his job, right, the old philosophy, do your job. If the coach of San Francisco does his job, then Rodgers would not have been able to use the magic wand at that point. The mathematics would have made it impossible. Now, let me lay this out. There's a couple of scenarios here. You can pick and choose. Now, the 49ers, on their final drive, they had all of their timeouts. Right? Following the first down, the Niners took a snap. They had about 12 seconds, I believe, left on the play clock, the 40-second play clock. So at that point, you would say, milk the cow and milk the clock. You have all your timeouts, three timeouts, and instead of taking that other 12 seconds off the clock, running it right down to the final moment before you snap the ball, they score the touchdown, which is great. You've got the lead, but you've left 37 seconds. to Green Bay, where if you had run it down to the very end, you would have had then roughly 25 seconds if it had gone all the way to the end at that particular moment. You still would have had your timeout, so you still would have been able to call a number of plays if you hadn't gotten in. But wait, there's more. Let's say that's unrealistic. How about this scenario? You scored the touchdown, 37 seconds left. You then have a decision to make on special teams. Do you trust your coverage unit to stop the opposition, the Packers, from getting a big return? The 49ers decided they did not trust. Kyle Shanahan did not trust his special teams. He kicked the ball out of bounds, right? Out of the, you know, it was a touchback through the end zone there, touchback that kept the ball in play. So at that point, if they had kept the ball in play, is what I meant to say, then that would have run at least 5, possibly more seconds off the clock. And the Packers started their own 35-yard line. So pick and choose. You could say both or one, but to do none is negligence by the 49ers coach. And so we point the finger at Kyle Shanahan. And part B of this, while Kyle Shanahan gets the biggest piece of the blame pie, biggest slice of the blame pie, the 49ers secondary. Let's spend a couple of good minutes on those bozos, right? Armed and not dangerous. Now, we knew that the Niners were convinced that is the weak link on this team. When they went out and got Josh Norman right before the season, that told you all you needed to know about the 49ers. They can spin it any way they want. This is an underwhelming unit. Teetering on the brink in the final 37 seconds, completely AWOL. A shrug-inducing performance. Now, every man, woman, and child who watched that game sitting on their tuchus like I was, you knew what was coming. And the Niners knew what was coming, and it didn't matter. Aaron Rodgers was going to have tunnel vision. And sure enough, he had tunnel vision. Where's Davante Adams? Where's Davante Adams? Find Davante Adams. On cue, exactly what happened. So Green Bay gets the ball back, and they ran three pass plays. They also had a spike, but three pass plays and a spike. All three passes were targeting number 17 in the Packer uniform, Davante Adams. First and 10, and Rodgers hit Adams on a 25-yard play to the 50-yard line. He then came up, spiked the ball. So about 21 seconds to go. He then targets Adams again. Incomplete pass. So now it's third down and 16 seconds on the clock. And so Rodgers comes back. Now, what do you think Rodgers is going to do? If you're in the Niners secondary, what are you thinking at that point Aaron Rodgers is going to do? Sure enough, he drops back. Clock runs down. He throws a deep pass to the left side of the field to Davante Adams for another chunk play, 17 more yards. That gets him in field goal range. And Rodgers then spikes the ball, sets up Mason Crosby for the game-winning 51-yard field goal. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Now, Adams is a great wide receiver, but you're telling me that 49ers defense, that there's no way they can force Rodgers to throw the ball somewhere else? That Adams is so much better than the Stooges in the Niners secondary, and they're so incompetent, and the coaching staff defensively so incompetent, they can't come up with a way to force someone else to make a play there at the end? Can anyone make a play on defense for the Niners? Could anyone? No, listen, I'm happy. I had Green Bay in the game, so I'm happy the outcome. But watching that, that was a game the Niners, it was right there for them. Right there for the Niners, and you're standing around there watching completely clueless as it's just tunnel vision to Davante Adams, Davante Adams, Davante Adams, Davante Adams, Davante Adams, again, again, again! All right, last word. So overall, the Green Bay Packers can, for now, put down the paper bag. No need to hyperventilate. They were heading towards hyperventilation highway. Now, that being said, you know, I keep it real here. And we do not think that this was impressive for the Packers. Let me explain what I mean by this. Now, there's a lot of people who are slurping all over the cheeseheads, but I have an unpopular opinion. I have an unpopular opinion. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers, who dominated the first half of this game, did not meet that standard in the second half for the bulk of the second half. And the reason ultimately why the Packers needed that Houdini act at the end was because Aaron Rodgers did not play particularly well in the second half. And I'm not just whistling Dixie here. If you look at the numbers, Rodgers in the second half, I know some of the numbers are skewed a little bit by the spikes, but he was averaging, even with those big chunk plays to Davante Adams, he averaged like 5 yards per pass attempt. He was shaky. And 54% of all of his yards in the second half came on those final two passes that led to the field goal. But we were told that Green Bay is a power in the NFC. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. This is a great team. This is one of the great teams in the NFL. The 49ers are an overrated lightweight. Blah wins over the Lions and Eagles. All right, a couple of rinky-dink teams. The Packers should have won this game in a route or route, depending on how you learned how to say it when you were younger. But I look at Green Bay's defense, and I'm not particularly impressed. That does not bode well when you play a team like the Rams down the line in a hypothetical playoff game, or even Tampa Bay again in a postseason situation. The Niners, with a bunch of guys out, Jimmy Garoppolo playing, they put Lance in a few times. They converted 64% of their third down attempts. San Francisco had more first downs than Green Bay. Packers made a lot of mistakes. They were flagged for 7 penalties for 87 yards. They had a fumble. So not clicking on all cylinders. It is fair to say not clicking on all cylinders. All right, let's hear now from some of the key participants here. I mentioned Kyle Shanahan, called him out, put Kyle Shanahan on blast, and here he is trying to praise Aaron Rodgers and push the blame away from him.
You always worry with Aaron on the other side. That's why we didn't use any timeouts. We're hoping to take it down, but it was a hell of an effort by Juice to get in.
Yeah. Well, why did you not kick it and allow more time to go down? Here's more about Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to the other side. Let's go to Shanahan again. Here's Kyle Shanahan pointing out that he was happy with his quarterback, Jimmy G.
Jimmy played real well tonight. The fumble there, there was a screen. He got let through way too early. It was a play-action screen. Right when he turned it around, it looked like 97 was in his face, and he tried to get rid of it and threw it backwards.
Yeah. And then said, no, I didn't do what you said I did.
You blew it!
Yeah, that was not a great play. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo now, who points out that it's not easy to be on the straight and narrow.
We're, kind of in a good rhythm. That's where you toe the line of, you got the defense on their heels. It's really hard to score down there in the red zone as it is. Do you want to let them catch their breath and that type of thing? But, when a guy catches it and makes a play like that, you're not going to be upset at him for scoring. It's just, I know what you're saying. You want to toe that line with it. It's tough.
Yeah. Toe the line, or as Johnny Cash said, walk the line. All right, here's one more from Jimmy Garoppolo, who, even though it doesn't look like the Niners knew what they were doing with the clock, he's saying that they actually did.
You're always conscious of it in that situation. There's a lot of different things going on, but yeah, game clock, you're always trying to get it as low as you can. It's just tough when you got a guy like Aaron on the other side. You leave him any amount of time. You never know what could happen. Dude did it in 36, 37 seconds. You got to tip your hat to him sometimes.
Or would he have been able to do it in 25 seconds if you had run the play clock down? Ifs and buts. It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here and we begin a new week. If you would like to join us, maybe you're new to the party, we will give out the phone number right now. The lines are open for business. And here it is, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can join the fun. And I know we'll talk more about the NFL will be the big thing all night here. And I was at the Rams-Buccaneers game at SoFi Stadium on Sunday. And I took a bunch of photos. So if you want to check those out, those are on Instagram and Facebook. Ben Maller on Fox on Instagram. Ben Maller Show on Facebook. A photo gallery, just what you wanted to see, right? Unless it's not. No? Ugly radio guy wandering around a football stadium. That's just the kind of content you were looking for on social media. Yes, not quite the booty model. Not quite the booty model. All right, straight ahead, were the Green Bay Packers given a tremendous break? Did people at the NFL put a blindfold on that allowed them to beat the 49ers and certainly help them. We'll get to that and blame it on the can. Blame it on the can. We'll go there as well, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox. And I'll live a little late on the draw there, Chris. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Anything, unless it's not. So we began the festivities talking about the Sunday night game as Green Bay gets the win. Kyle Shanahan does it again. Tremendous coaching. He has been part of some of the great choke jobs of all time. He has been on the sidelines, the greatest of all time, when he was with the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. A few years back, the burner account writes in, says, good monologue, but I have to say congratulations, Benjamin. I'm proud of you. I tried to tell everybody that you wouldn't lead the monologue off with the Rams win. No, not Benjamin. Nope, there's no way Ben would strut around like a peacock. Not good old Benjamin Grichuk. Well, did you know the Rams beat the reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it wasn't even close? The Bucs never led. They look like a minor league outfit. My God, what an embarrassment for Tampa Bay. The Rams, Matthew Stafford, dazzling. More on that. Much more on that. We'll have in-depth team coverage coming up later on in the night. Double O Mexican in San Diego writes in. He says, A-minus on the Maller monologue. I was watching the game with a 49er fan, and we were both stunned. They did not run the ball when they scored the go-ahead touchdown. That's a bad job by Kyle Shanahan. We agree. We absolutely agree on that. Who else do we have? Let's see. Paige down here. The Russian kid says that was a boring monologue. Ben, not a good story. However, I am sick and tired of biased favoritism in the NFL. And then the Russian kid brings up the story that I was going to bring up here, that Devontae Adams was knocked out, and he was on the field, down on the field for 2 minutes, and he was allowed to continue. Now, I'm from the old school. I'm from the old country, and I grew up watching football where that happened all the time. But I thought we were in the softer NFL these days. I thought we were in the, you know, out of an abundance of caution. Didn't they make a big deal a couple years back about the concussion protocol? And they announced very proudly that anytime there's a potential concussion, once it's identified, the player shall be removed immediately from the field, right? And then they said the NFL team physician and an unaffiliated neurologist will consult together. They'll review the video of the play. They'll perform a neurological exam on said player. They'll do all these steps. Did that happen with Devontae Adams? I'm just asking for a friend. I mean, it doesn't seem like that happened. Based on the video evidence there, that he should not have been allowed to come back into the game. And again, I'm from an age when I grew up watching football. Guys had concussions and came back. They were, you know, walking around goofy. But that's not how it's supposed to be today. I thought they cleaned that up. They bragged about how clean everything was and how that wasn't going to happen again. Just Josh, one of these Cincinnati bros, writes in. He says that's inexcusable management of the game clock by Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan. There are only two guys who can beat you when you leave them anytime, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. But at least you didn't lose by a 66-yard field goal, he points out. Yeah. Well, I tried to bust Chris. Chris is on the show. Roberto's away for a couple days, and Chris is in here. And Chris is the resident Lion guy. He's verified on Twitter, much to the dismay of Koopa Loop. He's a verified account on Twitter. And he covers the Lions and all that, and he doesn't seem that brokenhearted about it. I was expecting to get some good back and forth, but Chris didn't seem that upset that a 66-yard field goal
off the crossbar.
that makes it even worse. That's like more salt in the wound.
Yeah, but you if
it hits a crossbar, Chris, you have a good a chance of it bouncing back as bouncing forward, right?
Yeah, and it's done by Justin Tucker, one of the greatest kickers to play. Here's the thing, Ben. If it was a one-time off thing, I would be crushed. But this is the Lions. I've seen this happen every year. There is always something, at least two crazy things that happen to the Lions every year. This is just what you see as like crushing to me is what I call Sunday.
No, but Chris, you got to be more worked. You're like numb to this. I feel like you're numb to the whole thing.
Yeah, I am.
No, but you got to have more. You got more raw emotion. We need more raw emotion. You know, just saying.
I burned out all that raw emotion when they picked up the flag back in 2014. All this is afterwards, just the embers.
Oh, okay.
You were talking to a broken man.
I understand.
Yes.
I get it. I've been there before, some of the teams I follow.
You follow the Clippers.
Boy, they're going to have – what a great arena. And I was leaving – when I was leaving SoFi, I drove by the whole – I call it the Holy Land, where the new Clip joint's going to be. Oh, man.
That's all. Wow. That's the only response you can possibly have is look at our cool building.
Look at this cool thing we are going to build, if not actually built yet.
Great. And unlike it, you know, these other owners, that's all the owners so great to the communities building it for the people. It's a great owner right there. Steve Ballmer, solid owner.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's got to make off a lot of bad karma for all the Windows Microsoft stuff.
No, the only thing that Steve Ballmer screwed up on when he was at Microsoft, when he came out and announced at a Microsoft meeting that no one would buy the iPhone. Other than that, you know, he was slightly off on that.
He was up on stage. He was up on stage several times, like jumping and screaming and sweating through his shirt.
That's what he does. That's his shtick. That's how he operates.
It makes total sense that he is now on an NBA sideline all the time.
He's a giant dork.
Side, I mean.
Oh, you wish he was the Lakers owner. My God.
No,
he's such a better owner than Jeannie Buss. My God. Jeannie Buss.
In Playboy.
Coop, go eat your dumplings, all right? Come on, sit this one out. my God. Okay. Jeez. Jeannie Buss. Not even close. Maller Militia Twitter King says, very good monologue, Mr. Maller. I give it a solid B+. It was a great football weekend. Heck, who am I kidding? It's a great football weekend whenever there is football. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Lou says, did you see all the beautiful people at SoFi, including Kawhi and Paul George? Yeah, I saw a lot of... A lot of people. I don't want to get to it right now. I had a very interesting day. I'll get to it next hour, but I helped save an NFL broadcast from getting on the air. I did. I'm going to tell that exclusive story. No one else has that content. No one else will have that content. I also walked by a bunch of VIP parking in the bowels of SoFi Stadium, and it was the funniest thing because I'll tell this real quick. So I'm walking through the – I had never been there, and I didn't know where the hell I was going, so I just started walking around, probably places I should not have been, but I just wanted to kind of get the lay of the land and find out what I was dealing with here at this massive stadium. So I'm walking around, and I had a media pass so I could go places I normally, you know, a normal human being couldn't go. So I was wandering around and I'm underneath on the field level and I'm walking around and they had parking. You see this at NBA arenas where they have the players park underneath right in the tunnel. I usually see that at football stadiums, at least not at the Coliseum where the Rams played before back in the day. Anyway, so I'm walking around this like parking for the Tampa Bay Bucks owners. There's a couple of these loaded Cadillac Escalades that are parked there. And I keep walking them. And then like a couple spots down, there's parking for Dr. Dre. Like two spots down from the Bucks owner. It's like just, anyway. I saw a bunch of, Larry David was there. I was more impressed to see Larry David than I was like LeBron James or Draymond Green. But LeBron and Draymond Green were like hanging side by side. What's up with that, Coop? I thought you're supposed to be enemies. I thought they didn't like each other. Enemy combatants. They're schmoozing together at an NFL game. What's going on with that?
Draymond Green's hasn't been relevant in years.
Last time he was relevant, he kicked the guy in the nuts and cost the Warriors.
Exactly.
Perfect season. Yeah. E-Rocker says, how about you mention that the refs didn't call obvious helmet-to-helmet on that play where Devontae got clocked? Lots of suspect calls, no calls the whole game, E-Rocker. I like E-Rocker. He must be a Packer stockholder. Ryan writes in, he says, with all these safety precautions and booth reviews, with such a evident head-to-head collision, why didn't the 49ers, who indicated the hit on Adams, you get ejected, he says. So same thing E-Rocker said. Yeah. Well, I think they should just get rid of replay. It's such a pain in the ass. You go to these games, and it's like, you know, so, yeah, you got to spend 10 minutes going over every frame by frame, Zapruder film style. What are we doing? If it's clear and obvious on the replay, then you can change it up. Hollywood Jedi writes in, says, as a lifelong Dallas Cowboy fan and Chicago Bear fan. You can't be a Cowboy and a Bear fan. He says, that's it. He says, I cannot stand for the life of me Aaron Rodgers. I am appalled at the lack of defense by the 49ers, who had the game in the bag. It's not in the bag till it's in the bag. And then it's in the bag at that particular point.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And to the phones we go. And let's say hello to Dominican Mike, who is up next here on Fox Sports Radio. Hello, Dominican Mike. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, yeah, yeah, man. The Rams look good today, brother. They look really good, man. They beat the Bucks, man. That was good. That was good. That Stafford dude, man. He's solid, totally solid.
No, you're gonna trigger Chris. Chris thinks Stafford is a bum. My engineer tonight, he can't stand him.
No, I
but
don't.
Stafford's
where are you
great.
Getting this from? No, I don't.
Nah, you think he's a fraud?
No, that's for Rob Parker and Bernie Frado and all those guys. I think Stafford's amazing.
Oh, all right. I stand corrected. I just threw all you know, all the Lions guys that work at Fox Sports Radio, Bernie, Rob Parker, you. I just think you're one and the same. What does Rob call him? Matthew
Pad Stafford, because he doesn't win games. He gets a fourth quarter where he can put up a lot of numbers.
Yeah. Well, that might have been true in Detroit, but I don't know about now.
But you know, and you called it, Ben. You said it yourself, man. That like when he came to L.A., when he went to L.A., it was going to be a different story, though, because L.A. and Detroit, totally different teams.
Well, Dominican, you know? Mike, it's not that hard. Listen, anybody could have called it. Sean McVay is one of the great offensive coaches in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to take credit for it, but it was an obvious statement. It was Captain Obvious. McVay is really good at his job. He's so good, I'm afraid he's going to leave the Rams and go, like, when Belichick leaves the Patriots to go coach the Patriots or something. He's that good. But no, he knows what he's doing, and you give a, you know, Stafford a solid quarterback.
Hey, true.
So.
Ben, I just wanted to check in with you real quick.
All
and
right,
just tell you that,
Mike, I haven't heard from you in a while. I wonder what happened to you. I was worried you might have been on a lamb or something.
No, actually, I got to tell you, though, unfortunately, I refused the vaccine, so I'm going to be moving back to Florida full time after the AFL next month. When it's done in the next month, they're going to force me. They don't want me to fly between between Arizona and Florida, so they told me, like, they asked me pretty much, "Where do you want to be?" And I actually said Florida.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna when I'm in Florida, I can't call the show because it's so late over there.
Yeah. So, well, every once in a while you can call, but then you're really tired when you call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Or you could get up. Now, Dominican Mike, we're going to miss you as a caller, but you could get up early. And I know some of the guys get, like, Dick and Dayton doesn't listen the first 3 hours. He just gets up the last hour and he calls us up at 5 a.m.
That's right. I work on that. I just wanted to let you guys know that if I'm cold for a while, and because of that. All right. Have a good night, Ben.
All right. Take care. Safe travels. Dominican Mike, full time in the Sunshine State, leaving behind Arizona. All right, the Ben Maller Show, as we press on, we're going to have the Who Am I game. So Deshaun Watson, that Ram Buck game, we're going to talk more about that next hour. Deshaun Watson, 75-yard touchdown reception against the Bucks, and he was styling and profiling as he beat two Buck defenders. He actually almost got himself tackled. I remember Deshaun in Philadelphia when he fumbled the ball before he crossed the goal line. That was his famous moment with the Eagles. Anyway, Deshaun Jackson, 75-yard touchdown reception against the Bucs. That was his ninth career touchdown reception of 75 or more yards. That ties him with me for the most 75-plus touchdown receptions in NFL history. Again, Deshaun Jackson, 75-yard touchdown reception against Tampa. That was his ninth career touchdown reception of 75 yards or more. That ties him with me for the most 75-plus yard touchdown receptions in NFL history. Who am I? The answer, next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From the first moment you tune in, you know the Ben Maller Show is not your garden variety sports talk. We welcome all the freaks of nature to the Maller Militia. Facebook's an online amusement park for all of us. You can chat with other super fans of the show. It's simple and it's free. Help support our show by liking our page. Go to facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And here's the Who Am I game. DeSean Jackson. First big moment as a Ram. Wait for him to get hurt. But until he gets hurt, he's a great player. DeSean Jackson, 75-yard touchdown catch and run against the Buccaneers, his old team. That was his ninth career touchdown reception of 75 yards or more. That ties him, DeSean Jackson, with me for the most 75-plus yard touchdown receptions in NFL history. Who am I? That is the question. What is the answer? David in Seattle, who knows where all the good restaurants are, is going with Sandra Bullock as his selection. Mr. Nice Guy says Tammy in Montana is the answer. Interesting. Who else do we have? Oscar says Sergio Garcia. Pele from the late night drug tester.
Boy, these are really good guesses.
Yes, they are. Maller prop guy got it right. Bad job by him. John Goodman from Militia Twitter. King Palm Desert Rat going with Bo Jackson as the answer. Jason in Denver says the head of the table, Roman Reigns, is the way to go. Alf the Alien Opiner says, I believe it is me, Alf. He tied me, Alf, as the answer. Bob Hayes, guessed by Mike from Pittsfield. Who else do we have? Sean in Portland's going with Ricky Prohl as his answer. Tapton Tommy got it right. Who else? Ed McCaffrey from Just Josh. Booger McFarlane from Justin in Cincinnati. Eek got it right. Ricky Prohl from Rob in Minnesota. Willie Gault, 00 Mexican San Diego. Ronaldo Nehemiah from Steve, the Padre guy. Wally in Florida is going with Cliff Branch as his answer. Real Martin at the airport in Denver says El Pollo Loco, the fine chicken establishment, is the answer. Chip in the queue says he got the answer right. Do you have an answer, Eddie? Do you have an answer?
Is it Randy Moss?
Randy Moss. No, it is not Randy Moss. If I gave you this player's nickname, you'd get it right away, all right?
All ready? Right. Yeah, I'm ready.
Bambi.
Oh, Lance Allworth.
Yes, Lance Allworth for the win. Woo! San Diego Charger, Lance Allworth. Let's get to it. Time now. It's the last week of the baseball season. I can't believe Eddie finished in last place again. That is shocking. All right, Coop, you've got the first pick on the MLB Pick'em light card on a Monday. Light card Jeez. On a Monday.
This one's rough.
It is tough. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I'm gonna suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with, I guess, Dallas Keuchel, because the Tigers suck.
That's a terrible pick. All right, Chris, go ahead, Chris. Please.
How dare you? Miguel Cabrera. I know
that's
I was going to do it.
That's a good pick. Hits. Good job. You're helping Roberto on. I'm going to take Cal Quantrill, whoever that is. I guess he plays for the Cleveland Indians. This is the last week we can say Cleveland Indians before the Wokesters get them. Eddie, go ahead, Eddie.
Well, in honor of the Red Hot St. Louis Cardinals, let me take Tommy Herr.
Oh, he was good.
Ken Obergefell.
Solid. I think of Ken Obergefell more as a Brave than a Cardinal.
Well, that you'd be wrong.
I'll take has Juan Soto been picked? I don't think he has been picked. I'll take Juan Soto.
Okay,
What are you going?
No, it's cool. Jose Abreu.
Well, wait, no. You're jumping line here. Chris is up next. Chris,
how dare you? Nico Goodrum.
He's so excited, he can't wait.
That's a good pick. Yeah, Coop's really into this. He takes it way too seriously. Go ahead.
Jose Abreu and let's go Salvador Perez.
Hurry up! I just like
Salvador
saying that.
Perez.
Hurry up!
Chris?
Michael Fulmer.
My last pick, Joey Votto. Joey Votto. Eddie.
Let's go with Joaquin Andujar.
That's a solid pick. Watch out for the urinal, Eddie.